Friday on October 15, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Sure glad you tuned into the Calvary Hour. And by the way, this broadcast is targeted for the end of our broadcast week. I hope you're making plans, if at all possible, to be in a good, fundamental, Bible-believing church this coming Lord's Day. Dear friend, it's more important now than it has ever been. I'm well aware that I'm probably preaching to many who cannot. If you have access to the internet and would like to join us, we'd like to invite you to join us for our services at the Calvary Baptist Church. We stream them live as well as we have archives. And you can reach us at www.calbapt.org. That's easy to remember if you realize it's an abbreviation for Calvary Baptist. www.calbapt.org. Well, I'm excited about this scripture we're in. I know we backed up a little bit on yesterday's broadcast, and we went back and read the testimony that Paul gave of Ananias, how he came to him in Damascus and prayed for him, and how God used him in his life. We find that in Acts chapter 22, I believe it is. But anyway, now we'll go back, because we had already had this basic introduction of Paul, Saul of Tarsus, to the disciples at Jerusalem. But remember now, the word had not gotten around that Saul of Tarsus was converted, at least not to a lot of people. It had in Damascus, but not in Jerusalem. And so when it comes to Jerusalem, the disciples certainly were frightened, and they were afraid. And in chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Well, you can understand their situation. I would have been, I'm sure, in the same mindset that they were. They probably thought this was a trick, this was a gimmick. He's going to play act that he is a disciple so he can find out who they are and arrest them and even have them killed. But there's a man there who has fallen the Lord, and his name is Barnabas. But Barnabas took him in verse 27 and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord Jesus. So Barnabas now is giving him a good recommendation. He is assuring them that Saul of Tarsus is no longer the persecutor, but now he is the preacher. And by the way, it takes sometimes for people, especially who live the wicked life, and God saves them, it takes some time for them to get established and for people to realize that this is real. And I want to say this to you, dear friend, salvation is real. And if a person really gets saved, their life is going to be changed. I've had the glorious privilege to witness this over many, many years now. Well, I know what the scoffers say and the unbelievers say. Well, he's got religion. Quote, it ain't going to last, end quote. And they have a lot, sometimes this unsaved crowd have a lot of bad things to say, especially when one of their own gets saved and their life is transformed. But Saul of Tarsus had come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. He recognized that Jesus is the Christ. He had believed on him in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. Now he's a new man in Christ, and he'll go about and preach boldly in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He would do the same thing in Jerusalem, by the way, that he did in Damascus. It got him in trouble in Damascus, and it's going to get him in trouble in Jerusalem. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say when the Apostle Paul entered a town, he never did ask what kind of hotel or motel facilities they had. He said he wanted to know what kind of jail they had, because when he preached, there's going to be one or two things. There were going to be either a revival or a revolution, and he knew that he was going to be in trouble. Well, let's continue now with our scriptures. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verses 28 and 29, and he spake boldly, and he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. So the people in Damascus were trying to kill him, and now the people in Jerusalem are trying to kill him. Well, it's clear that something was going to have to be done, and God always makes a way, does he not? We can certainly praise the Lord for that. Let's read about it here in the precious Word of God in Acts chapter 9. We'll begin in verse 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Well, now here we have another group of unnamed men. Remember those brethren, those disciples that led him down over the wall in a basket when he was at Damascus? Well, here we have some more of these unnamed heroes, dear friend. In verse 30, they're down in Jerusalem. And you know what? You'll find them anywhere that you find people who love God. And when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. I am so thankful for those who are willing to be in the background. And yet, in God's sight, I believe they're up front. I believe they're in the foreground. And they're always willing to use their talents, their love, their time to be a help to the work of God, especially to those who are undergoing a hard time, undergoing persecution and so forth. I want you to see what happened as a result of Saul getting saved and what these brethren had done. They were able to move him down to Caesarea and then send him forth to Tarsus. And hold on to that fact, if you will, that he went forth to Tarsus, for we'll find that when Barnabas goes to Antioch to help establish that church that had been started in Antioch, he realized he needed somebody to help him teach these disciples. And you know what he did? He went to Tarsus and sought for Saul and brought him to Antioch. And there they taught those disciples for a whole year. Once again, thank God for unnamed brethren who cared about Saul of Tarsus, who got him out of Jerusalem, who worked him through Caesarea, and then had him to go to Tarsus. Now, what was the result of all of this? Look at verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Well, you're absolutely right. This is camping ground right here. Verse 31. What a wonderful thing it is in this life when the storms of life move over and we have the sunshine to return and the weather becomes stable. And what a wonderful thing it is in nature to have a peaceful time. And what a wonderful time it is in the work of God when persecution has ceased, especially when the persecutor has been saved and has turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am thinking right now about a situation out in Micronesia. I'll try to fill you in more on this later. But a man out there who was a terror to the people, in one, especially one of the neighborhoods out there, one of the villages out there, and how God in his marvelous grace saved this man and changed this man so dramatically and so dynamically that the whole village was affected by this dear man's salvation and his testimony, his life that he was living as a changed life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, this broadcast is targeted for the end of our regular broadcast week, and I'm not wasting time when I try to encourage you to be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church. There's no way that this preacher in his own can find sufficient words to challenge you to be faithful to the house and to the work of God. I read so many statistics, especially the Barna reports and so forth. How many people are dropping out? Dear friend, this is not the time for us to drop out. This is not the time for us to be has-beens and used-to-bes. This is the time for us to be faithful. You know what the charge of our Lord Jesus Christ is? His charge is that we're to occupy until he comes. And we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But we are to be together. We are to encourage one another. We are to exhort one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. Oh, let God be able to count on each one of us to be faithful to him. And again, if you just cannot be in church, if you cannot, and you have access to the internet, Please join us. Our services are regular Sunday services at the Calvary Baptist Church in New Bern, North Carolina. We are at www.calbapt.org. Please join us next broadcast if you can.